Hi, welcome to Gamercast, episode 138. Hi, I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is the Gamercast for the 9th of November, 2008.
Can't believe it's 9th already. Christmas is coming soon.
Yeah, tell me about it.
We've already got the Christmas decorations up. You know, in the town.
They were up like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. Well, today was packed out. It was like a Saturday today. And it's like,
yeah, everyone's trying to get everything early.
It's like a Saturday and we've half the amount of staff.
I think it's going to be a bit of a weird Christmas because you're going to have so many people shopping early because they want to shop for a long period of time. Because they're worried about the credit crunch and stuff like that, and you're going to have shops trying to do as many sales as they can because they're worried about the credit crunch.
Well, the thing is, in my business, we're not seeing any effects at all.
Kids will always buy games. Kids don't give a damn.
Well, kids don't buy games anyway. It's, you know, our age groups, the ones who actually have jobs and can have money.
Yeah.
Who won't buy games.
Won't consider not buying a game.
Parents are always like, oh no, you must have a really cheap game, which is like 7 years old, pre-owned, and so the developer goes out of business and the retailer makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
We had another case of somebody coming in from Woolworths complaining about them to us as well. You know what Woolworths are like? Whenever you've got like a faulty console and you buy it from Woolworths, they're like, no, just contact the manufacturer. And it's like so full of bullshit. We always have loads of people whinging about it. Quote, the Sale of Goods Act. What are they going to do? Tell you to smeg off? Oh, emails. Go away. Right. So yeah, that's good. I don't know why I talked about that.
Christmas. I mentioned Christmas.
Yeah, what's that got to do with Woolworths and screwing customers? Right, anyway, let's crack on with our letters this week. We have no letters, so let's crack on with... We don't have any news, dude. Yeah, I opened up Eurogamer, didn't I? But I didn't actually look at it. Oh, here we are. We're ripping off other news sites quickly. Oh, wait! I've got a cool Gears of War Midnight launch code as well, but I'm not giving it away.
Ooh! Oh my god, there is some news.
What?
Hands-on, EVE Online, walking in stations, one small step for man, one giant leap for EVE. So it looks... Ooh. Cool, okay. That is something that's always been kind of like, wow, the space of EVE was always amazing, but I was always kind of like, I do miss Star Wars Galaxies, where you could just do what you want, and this, that, and the other, and get it. Go on the stations and other things, but that's cool. Actually get up and walk. So this is comparison of
this is a sort of review that you're a gamer. How the hell do I get this crap off the screen? Yeah. I was so tempted I was so tempted the other day to uninstall Flash. I was actually going through with it, then I realised, shit, I need Flash for YouTube, and it's... Because it's only ever used to flip an Android. It's right. Yeah, this is just a review Eurogamer have done comparing Fallout 3 on different platforms. Basically, the PS3 version sucks.
Yeah, PS3 is quite buggy.
Mandatory 4.2 gigabyte installation as well. Ooh! Or Xbox owners can install 5.9 gigabytes to the hard drive when it's, you know, we've got the new optional dashboard. Is that this week?
19th.
That's so next 10
day.
Week.
Yeah, 10 days.
So yeah, whatever. I mean, I imagine the PC version's the best.
Yeah. I am looking forward to getting my hands on a copy. I am going to be basically saying I am only going to get one or the other. I'm either going to get Fable.
I don't have time for all these games.
Yeah, I'm either going to get Fable or Fallout.
I need Gears, and I'm tempted by this, and I'm sort of half tempted by Far Cry.
No,
but yeah, they basically say the PC version is the best, and that, speaking as someone without day-to-day experience of PC gaming, Fallout 3 is a wonderful affirmation that computer gaming is still a strong proposition as it ever was. So yeah, that's the same what we already knew. What's this EVE Online thing?
This might be something I might have to read up on.
Yeah, okay, we'll do that later.
Yeah.
Because we don't... This is on the fly. I just started the episode without, you know...
Send the link to my email, and then I'll have a look at it for... next week. Yeah, we've got... Next week is Wrath, isn't it?
Thursday.
Midnight launch on Wednesday.
We're not doing midnight launch now.
No.
Which one do you want to send it to? Google or me?
Me. As I was saying, I'm jumping between Fable 2 or Fallout 3, and I'm going to get one or the other, complete it, then get the other. I really don't think... You could own both, but I think it would ruin my gaming experience by having trying to juggle both, or buying one and just leaving it. Because if I went out and bought Fallout 3, and then by the time I completed everything, then went to Fable may come down in price by the time I'd done that, or it might find it after Christmas. So,
was that you?
Yeah, did you just email me?
Yeah.
I believe that was the email. Yeah, that was the email you emailing me.
DSI sold over 170,000 units in 2 days. That's quite strong sales. Apparently, Red Dirt 3 is coming back to PS3. It was originally canned on PS3, but apparently it's coming back.
I suppose they're trying to get as many sales as they can.
Bethesda have taken over UK charts, obviously, with Fallout. There's downloadable content for Bioshock on PS3 coming on November 20th. WarioWare has revealed that Mario is gay. We all knew that.
Okay.
Mercenaries 3 has been announced.
Trying to get it out while it's still hot.
EA CEO proclaims long-term support for Pandemic's franchise, but also says that it won't be redone on a yearly basis. We'll see about that. That's pretty much it in the news. The 19th is, what day is that? That's a Wednesday. So we'll have the new dashboard by then. Okay. So that's pretty much the news. Obviously, Gears of War came out on Friday, which was the big release.
Yeah.
This Friday just
got. Neither of us bought it. I won't buy it, but I will play on it. Basically, I am complete the first one.
Well, I completed it. But Gears, I don't have time to play it.
Gears of War came out when my Xbox popped, and I had the massive big gap before I owned another one. And I've just not got round to having the time to play. So to be honest, I'm going to wait until after Christmas and a lot of the games start slowing down again, and then I'll probably get Gears of War, play it through, then jump on Gears of War 2. I doubt Gears of War 2 will ever get
cheaper. At the moment, it's just... There are too many games.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for the last few years, we've not had any situation like this. You've had one big title.
Yeah.
And now we've got, like, four or five slightly smaller big titles.
And then you've got stuff like Fable and Fallout, which take a chunk of time to actually get through.
Yeah, I think Fable, I'm about a quarter of the way through what I want to do. I think I'm about halfway through the story. Mm. I'm not 100% sure, but then I also want to do it play as an evil dude and...
When I get
at the moment, I'm just buying property and making loads of money.
I must admit, there are ideas that I want to do. The first one is I want to play the game with no choosing of whether I'm aiming for light or dark. I just want to play the game through and make my decisions on point-by-point basis.
Well, that's what I do, but I'm a good person, so...
Yeah, I must admit, I probably won't do evil.
We know what you're like. You'll beat everyone up.
But
I'll let this little kid there smack.
Stab him with a sword. No, and then afterwards, I wouldn't mind to try being completely perfect and then being completely ruthless. But one thing I would love to do is be able... Supposedly, if you buy out everything in a place, you can end up being king or something like that. You can take over as much of the place as you want.
Let's face it, I rule the world anyway. But Albion is mine.
I'd like to be the point where I own everything, but then I kill people at a whim and just be evil but nice. You know, I sway between
evil but nice.
Yeah.
So you kill people and then you're nice to what? His brother?
Yeah.
Hey buddy, how's it going? And then you stab him in the back.
Your wife is mine.
God, it's flipping annoying having just one wife. I have a present for you, dear. Go away. Slap. You only ever give me something crap like a table. How about a new weapon which can do way more damage?
I need epic. I want an epic mount.
I want my epic mount, woman.
Yeah. Get back in the kitchen.
Our house doesn't have a kitchen.
It doesn't have a kitchen.
It's got downstairs and an upstairs. That's
house.
It. Don't stop. Hey, my house is quite an expensive one. Although she did say to me the other day that we could afford a better house. But I'm like, sorry, I've got my investments going on here. I'm buying all the property in Bowerstone. Leave me alone.
Is there any one place to live?
You can live wherever you want.
I mean, in the town. Is it one town to live in, or can you live in other places?
Yeah, you can live in other towns. You can buy, I think it's to the point where you can buy pretty much everything. You know, if there is the odd exception, it is a very rare exception.
Mm.
You can live in whatever town you want. I own several properties in Oakfield as well. Yeah, I'm quite the landlord. I don't know why they bother having all this combat shit in there. I just like going around and buying everything.
Can you rent them out?
Yeah, that's what I do. That's how I get all my money. I own like the blacksmith. I own the big inn in Bowerstone, which was 60,000 gold. Quite a big investment for a wee noob such as myself. But you know, some people at work have got. Once you hit 2.5 million in value with your, you know, junk, you're getting it cheap.
I must admit,
I think the next time I log in, I'll have like hundreds of thousands of gold.
With the economy system that they built into...
Well, the economy system in this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because you can work for 10 minutes as a blacksmith and buy a house.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, I wish real life was like that.
Well, if you look at like the economy system that they had in the original version of Star Wars Galaxies, you know, you had to start making stuff or killing people to make money or whatever you were doing. I was mining stuff and producing ore and then turning it into metal and then selling them on the market and stuff like that, and I had to pay your upkeep of the house and stuff like that. I'm surprised no one's tried to do that into WoW, where you can start buying up property and own a pub and things like that, and you get like a percentage of people going in there and buying juices for quests and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, the thing with something like WoW is it wouldn't work in a massively multiplayer thing.
No.
Because, you know, WoW's a different sort of game in that you don't actually work to get money.
Mm.
You know, the environment gives you a constant stream of cash.
And you use that to buy.
And then you also get your quest reward, but the quest reward is pretty crap when you're low level. It's not until you hit the cap level where you get actually quite a bit of gold for the
quest. I am surprised that they haven't tried to push in something that will allow you to have your own place, or at least a guild hall or something like that.
Yeah, I mean,
it'd be easy done, because they've done a system.
What would happen is it would use the instance system, so your guild would, you know, join an instance.
Yeah, like they did it on Final Fantasy Final Fantasy XI and Phantasy Star Online, the Phantasy Star Online universe one that they had, just for the fact that you could. You go through a door, and this doorway would obviously lead to some sort of corridor and then to your place, but you never saw that. It just loaded and you walked through the door into your place and you could decorate it and stuff. And they had the same thing in City Heroes. There was like your supergroup area, but that supergroup area could be attacked by a supervillain team and you could end up with a battle and you'd have to put defenses in and stuff when it got to a certain ranking and things like that. I must admit, something like that would be quite cool to have, just for the fact of guild meetings and stuff like that. You're not all just sat somewhere randomly around.
Well, my guild usually meets at the Hall of Champions.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got other people.
Of course,
people
you get the occasional idiot come along and just sit down next to you, and you're like, "Get lost, noob."
There are a few pubs in Stormwind which never really get used very often.
No, because there's no reason to use it.
Yeah,
unless you want to buy a drink.
So they're quite.
Or you could be doing that, or you could be doing the arena and get yourself some epic quality gear. So just waste some time in the pub. Let's do the arena.
But you can meet up in those places.
Well, yeah, I mean that's what we do at the moment, because you know it's not like you really ever come across anybody having a big gathering anywhere. Although you occasionally get, you know, outside Stormwind, there was a big gathering of a guild the other day, but they're obviously not as epic as my guild.
cool. Well, yeah, I'm estimating that money's tight at the moment. I can only buy so many games. I've got Little Big Planet, which I'm going to talk about later, and also Far Cry 2, which I was really liking. I do want to get one of Fable 2 or Fallout 3, for the fact it's an RPG, it's going to take me a long time to play. I'll probably take a long time getting through it. But with also Wrath coming out as well, that's higher up on the list. I need to buy that first before... And fair enough, Wrath's not going to do me a major amount apart from Deathlight upgrade, because the rest of the upgrades are already out on the patch anyway.
So. I'm really concerned about what's happening with WoW. Be honest, I see it coming out. It's there on the horizon, and it's coming out. Like, I really don't have enough time to play this. Because for the last week, I haven't really touched WoW.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get off of it, so maybe I'll be enthusiastic when Lich King comes out. But it also depends on what Amelia, Chris, and Catherine's all doing. Because if they're not playing it, it's not like I'm going to play it by myself, is it?
Well, I'm not far behind. I'm catching up slowly.
Adam.
Slowly, I'm catching up slowly.
You are not level 70. Although, I guess you could hang with my Death Knight, but then, what they need is a way to average the levels out.
Yeah. If you're at least within 15 levels of someone else, or 20 levels, you can be bumped up. And the same thing they did in City of Heroes, they gave a limit, and a speech bubble would come across the head saying, your sidekick is out of your range and you cannot protect them. So, if you were near each other, you'd be okay. They could have it as like an apprentice or something like that, which would be quite cool.
Plus, my triple experience runs out really soon, and my two dudes I have leveling with Catherine aren't getting leveled up. I calculated last week that we would have to do 2.7 levels per day to get to 60 in time. And, it must be like an average of 5 levels per day at the moment. Oh, look, speaking of WoW, I've actually got this dude from my guild saying, why are you never on WoW no more? Get lost, right? That's Foulclaw or somebody, I think. Is that Foulclaw or is that... Yeah, that's Foulclaw, I think.
And Foulclaw girl?
I think Foulclaw's a dude.
Oh, right. With a girl right around his arm.
Yeah, he paid serious money for that picture.
Yeah.
Right, that's cool. So at the PDC, what week are we on? 2 weeks ago, there was this really funky application thing announced called Bluehoo, which you can find at bluehoo.com. Who is in H-O-O. So basically what this is a mobile application which you put on your phone. It's Java. They've got Java clients, Windows Mobile, all that. They don't have iPhone because the Bluetooth stack is closed on the iPhone. And you basically run this application on your phone, and it scans for Bluetooth people in the area. Let's just launch it and hopefully not blast the speaker out. So it just uses the Bluetooth stack, it identifies anything, then it posts the results up to the cloud, and then if anybody else had the same application, you could send that person a message. So it's like IM for your local area, assuming they've all got the client installed.
Okay.
Which obviously need the client to do. So that's cool. You just like hit scan on there and it just shows you all the things. So the last 2 days while I've been in town, I've had it running. And I think we're up to, I came across, I think the figure including yesterday was about 2,000 other people's phones I came across yesterday. No, that's not as much. It's about 1,200 people, I think.
Okay.
So these are all people on here now. So the ones with a funny name are the ones which weren't either discoverable or didn't report a name. And we can just check some more out.
So it's more of a finding people on the move using Bluetooth because of the fad of people always going, oh, who's this Bluetooth person? Let me send them a picture or something.
Yeah, so if they've got a Bluetooth profile, you can actually see some information about them, send them a message, whatever. Obviously, it's only just been released and nobody's using it, apart from in a few fancy locations. People have some really weird names on here. Because when you get a collection of 600 odd names, you get some weirdos in that list. Mm. I won't mention anything specific. But yeah, and you can get a map up here. I've shown, you know, who's using it. Although for some reason, Yeovil hasn't shown up on the map. But it does have things like Waterloo Station and places like that where people have used it.
Okay.
So it's an interesting idea.
Its applications are just for finding people via Bluetooth.
Yeah. Hence the name, Bluehoo.
Right.
Plus it's got these funky little dudes, which look cool. So that's kind of interesting. So if you want to check that out, that's at bluehoo.com. No, they haven't paid me for this advertisement. I just think it's a neat idea. Because, I mean, you've had people trying to do this for ages, but it's, you know,
yeah,
never really got anywhere.
I know there's a company that's done something that's gone through the iPhone, which is similar, but it's not for finding new people. It's just for you add your friends.
The iPhone Bluetooth stack isn't open, so you can't program against the APIs, and so yeah, you can't do anything with it.
This one, just you can have,
because Apple is an authoritarian company.
This one, you can look at your friends list.
Oh my god, Adam, that's it. Right, I've got the ultimate application.
Right,
I just thought of it,
and
I'll show you in a second. Carry on talking.
You're going through your friends list, and you can have
a
look.
I just need to install it,
and then you all of a sudden I'd be in Bristol, and all of a sudden I'm in a comic book store, and then it says, say for my sake, Mark is in the coffee shop around the corner. I'm like, what the hell's he doing in Bristol? So I sent a message going, dude, you're in the coffee shop, do you want a drink? He'd be like, oh dude, I didn't even see you were there. And I can pop over and say hello, because it does it through the same system they use for the Google map, so it's using the same thing.
So yeah.
Oh, you've got your iPint.
Cheesy, but you know.
Yeah, I didn't even bother downloading that. It's one of those pub drinking things.
The first version of it, which is quite old, actually had a lot more, named brands.
Mm.
This one just has a couple, I don't know, they're French or, you know, Belgium or something. I guess they got sued.
Yeah.
By using the company logo on it. Oh, you can have a root beer though.
Root beer. One of the iPhone ones that when you've actually done it, you have to play a drinking game and use the tilt system to get a sliding beer across all the beer mats and past all the other pints to the other end of the bar to the hand, and then it will refill your pint. If you have a pint of Carling or something.
How's Lemmings working on the iPhone?
Not.
Oh yeah, because you don't have proper games on it. You have these goofy games.
Yeah,
or like, games where they try and charge you money for.
Yeah, like
when I have
Super Monkey Ball.
Yeah, like I'm going to buy that. See, Spore I'd be half tempted in if it was free. Little Big Planet. Yeah. This is the original.
Yeah. Into those groovy tunes.
They are groovy. They're all public domain as well. Right. Because obviously back in the day, I mean, licensing songs for a game, nobody could ever afford that. Jesus.
Yeah.
Of course, now the music industry has been overtaken by the game industry. Last quarter or whatever.
Mm.
So the games industry is now officially larger than the film and music industries. So, yeah.
There you go.
I blame it on the Wii.
It's the Wii's fault. Blame the Wii. Right, shall I do my review on Little Big Planet?
What other stupid comments can I make quickly? Glory to the Horde. Okay, go ahead.
Right, yeah, so picked up a copy of Little Big
Planet. Hang on, dude. On the show notes, it says... It says Gears of War 2 first.
Oh, yeah, sorry. We mentioned Gears of War 2 beforehand, so...
Oh, look, Catherine just said, sorry that I haven't been able to play WoW. See, things like that really freak me out, because this isn't a live broadcast.
No, we are recording this, and the only people who know what we're saying here... She's bugged the room. She's got a webcam so she can watch you while you sleep.
No, the computer's off with the webcam on.
Maybe Falclaw was actually saying something, saying, why is Paul not on? And
she's... Nah, Falclaw, if Falclaw tried talking to her, she'd just ignore him.
Yeah.
Because he's such a noob.
Noob.
She doesn't have time for noobs like Falclaw. Or Cain Lives.
King.
I think Cain Lives has left the guild again, actually. Oh, God, Cain Lives, eh?
Looking for greener pastures.
My level 70 character is based off an advert for Command & Conquer Tiberian Wars. I'm Cain Lives! Right. Go. Gears of War, talk about it.
I didn't get it.
Well, yeah, but you've read what other people say.
I must admit,
I'll do it. It's pretty much gameplay wise it's similar to Gears of War 1, obviously, yeah. Because you know, it is Gears of War.
But you have things
they
like...
haven't tried to do anything too radical with the actual way the gameplay works, but the environments are a lot larger now. The battles are a lot bigger.
Mm.
Multiplayer is still crap.
You got things like Human Shield, so you can pick up a dead body and allow the bullets to go into that and use that as a Human Shield.
That isn't pleasant.
No, but it saves your neck. The other thing is, with all the weaponry you've got on you and stuff like that, it's a lot slower to run about, and it's noticeably slower than playing Gears of War, the first one. But then after a while, you start seeing a little bit more realistic and you get used to it, supposedly. But, yeah, it seems quite good.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know when I'm going to buy it. Maybe I'll just wait a couple of years for it to be 20 quid. But yeah, let's do that. I'll do that with Fallout as well. That solved all my problems. Look, I can get these two. I just have to wait 2 years. Okay, so we'll have the... we're going to aim to do our Gears of 2 review... by, if we say 2010 July. Okay, 2010 July. July the 18th, let's say. I'll mark it on my calendar. And then, you know, when 2010 comes over, I'll be like totally freaked out. It's like me talking from the past. Right, Little Big Planet.
Right, Little Big Planet.
Wait. Okay, go ahead. Oh wait, I have to do a shout out to Shoesmith, who's listening for the first time.
Shoesmith.
That's that dude with the same name as me, who I thought was a joke.
Ah, oh, right.
His name's Paul Shoesmith. It's like, I saw him on the rotor for the first time and thought, are they taking the smeg? He's like, what's going on?
So his surname is Shoesmith.
Shoesmith. It's Shoesmith. It's like, and his first name is Paul. It's getting freaky, man. I keep running into people with my name, or like slight variations of my name. Because, you know, I'm checking the route, I'm seeing when I'm working, and I just see this dude, Paul Shoesmith. And it's like, are you guys taking the piss?
They're adding like Smith.
What is wrong with my shoes? What's going on?
That's cool.
Anyway, Little Big Planet. Yeah, he said to me today that it's really funny how I always interrupt you. Okay, go ahead.
My brain hurts. Well, what can I say about Little Big Planet?
Start off describing what the gameplay mechanics are.
Opening sequence shows you all of these weird logos, people who made it and everything like that. And then you start seeing people asleep. There's some footage of people sleeping with these weird things coming out of them. And the voiceover is done by Stephen Fry. So he's got quite a good voice to listen to.
No.
And
I hate it when things do that. Fable 2's got some... I don't know what her name is, but I recognise her voice.
Yeah. Who's
doing the, you know, the storyline. And I don't like that. Because I constantly think, that's that person who I don't know their name of, but I know who they are, and they're in my game. They're destroying my game world.
Stephen Fry does a good job because he does make it very funny and very comical.
My name's Stephen Fry. I think I'm funny, man.
So he does all of the voiceover for the game. So he's not in it all the time. He's only in it when he's telling you about different things. Because there's a lot of gameplay mechanics to learn.
See, Patrick Stewart in a Star Trek game?
Or when he's in a blue.
I can get. Stephen Fry, yeah, well... Yeah, even that annoyed me. And the fact they have that other dude, the dude from Lord of the Rings, it's like, I know who that dude is. You're the Lord of the Rings guy with a mask on, aren't you? I don't like it. Use no-name actors instead. Then I don't know who they are. And it doesn't... You know, I'm playing Oblivion. And then suddenly, oh look, it's Star Trek Man and Lord of the Rings dude and the guy who's been in lots of other things as well. And it's like, yeah, what are they doing in the Elder Scrolls? Get lost. Get out of my game. You're blurring my virtual reality.
Right, so...
I'm trying to escape the real world, not fly myself back in, like, you know...
Stephen Fry does the voice very well. And the concept...
Oh, I'm sure he does.
The concept of the game is that... the rest of the verse look at our planet as weird because we always sleep all the time and we have vivid imaginations. And all of the stuff that's in our imagination pops out and floats up above the Earth.
I'm getting loads of emails today.
And goes through this funnel and produces this little big planet above Earth, which is just...
What do you mean by above Earth?
It floats above Earth. You can't see it. It's basically...
You can't see it?
It's created...
How do we know it's there?
Because the Sack people go there.
Sack people?
Yeah, Sack Boy.
And how does they get there?
Through their cardboard box spaceship. It's quirky, okay? It's very, very quirky.
These people being locked up, yeah.
The idea is that it's very more like their whole entire environment is created by the human imagination. You won't.
Oh, I see. So they tried to make this. They've sort of tried to bolt on the story to match the gameplay. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you have to realize the gameplay and the physics were created before.
I remember when I showed you Little Big Planet, you were like, "Oh wow!" And then I told you it's PS3, and you were like.
Yeah, I was like, why can't good games be on consoles I own?
See, I'd get a PS3 for Little Big Planet if they were both 10 quid.
It's something I would say definitely get.
But the trouble is, I mean, even if I paid 300 quid for a PlayStation, where am I going to put it? My TV rack is full of stuff.
It would be something you'd have to have up here. It's black, so it goes with your black stuff.
You want me to have a giant, ugly PlayStation 3 up on my desk?
Well,
desk, which is completely minimalistic, apart from the speakers, some Marmite breadsticks, which are still up there.
You can put it next to Half-Life and Dune 2000.
Don't insult my old games. PlayStation 3 no deserve be on same shelf. Oh, Half-Life 1. Net those were the days.
The story mode, and then also, and a lot of the other stuff you have to unlock, and you pretty much do two levels and you unlock the capabilities to create stuff.
It hasn't sold very well, Little Big Planet. I don't think many people know of it yet.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to wait. I think basically people will play and they'll be like, oh my god, why did no one tell me about it?
Oh my god, it's like Wii Fit. Oh wait, it doesn't work on my Wii. No shit.
Basically, you get going, you have this little Sackboy character, and they take you through everything. So
explain this Sackboy.
He's the avatar.
Do you play as a Sackboy?
Yeah, you play as this avatar, Sackboy. The way that they've created the environment is very textural. Felt stuff looks like felt. Carpet looks like carpet. Glass looks like glass.
Glass looks like glass. Well, that's good.
But it really does. You knock a wood block over, and it sounds like wood. It bounces like wood. The physics engine's all...
See Half-Life up there? When you walked on a wooden floor, it sounded like wood.
Yeah.
When you walked on a stone floor, it sounded like stone. When you walked on gravel, it sounded like gravel.
When you go see Catherine and you play this, I'm sure she's bought it, you'll understand what I mean. It's very textured.
I appreciate the fact Little Big Planet is an awesome game, because you could see that right from the start.
Yeah.
It was an awesome game. What I don't like is the fact that you think glass looking like glass is a positive. Glass looking like glass is a neutral factor. It only changes from that when glass doesn't look like glass, in which case that's a negative.
Well, anyway,
I expect glass to look like glass. That's my baseline.
Your sack boy looks
like... If this glass looks like glass and spews loads of money out, then that's a bonus.
Okay. The environments are very textural. Your Sackboy character looks like something your grand would have stitched together and given to you as a child. He's got this zip up the front and stuff, and he's all stitched and things. He's fully customizable. He can be made out of wool, he can be made out of denim, you can make him out of leather. You can put ears on him, you can change... I had him...
Can I make him out of concrete?
No.
This game suck.
But you can customize him up, change him how you want to, make him look and everything like that, personal taste. All of the things that you... Objects, you have stickers that you can stick onto stuff. They unlock things when you stick them on the right places. You can just graffiti everything as you go along and customize the level.
Oh, it's a nasty game, isn't it? Where you go around graffitiing things. Like a certain other game I could mention.
You collect all of the items as you go along, so some of the levels, there's things you want to collect. You need to play at least two player to do it, so you need a friend to come in and help you to figure out stuff. And as far as it goes, it's basically running off jump and grab. And that's basically the controls. You can tab up and tab down to move a couple of steps into the level and a couple of steps out, so you can walk around stuff. You can grab hold of different types of materials, like sponge, kind of felt stuff. Glass, you'll slide along. Metal is more harder. You wouldn't be able to pull metal along or move it because of the weight. Everything's got a physical way that it'll bounce around. If a piece of sponge came down and hit you, it would just knock you flying. If something that was more like stone, a big piece of wood or metal, it would squash a sack boy and kill him instantly. So all of the environments move around, like with the footballs and stuff like that. And it is a real fun platform game. The thing that makes it even more interesting is the fact that none of the levels were made like the game was made. They didn't make any of the levels. They just made the game and the whole system. Every single one of the gameplay levels was made by using the level editor they built for it. So instead of it being, oh, well, this game will just use the computer to do it, and then we'll give you a level editor, and you can make a crappier version of what we can make.
Many games on my platform, the Windows PC, the developers use the same tools I have.
Yeah, a lot of the time...
on PC, normal.
But for anything else, not so much on console.
Well, not on consoles, because if you take what was that shooting game on PS2, where I had an editor and you just had like these blocks.
Yeah.
And you put the blocks together.
Yeah,
well, granted, a retard could make levels then, but they were crap.
This you can...
I really hate the roof in my house. Oh, there we go. I've finally got GPS. No, I haven't. I don't have got a signal, but I don't have a lock. God damn it.
You can carve away with all
God damn it. Why don't my GPS work indoors and underground?
The level editor is fun. You can create your whole entire environment as you please. This game will be short, annoying, boring, and you will never understand why to play it.
Ooh, I know what I could show you, actually. I can do a demonstration later on.
If you do not have a creative pulse, it is a very creative game. If you are not a creative person in any way, in the point that you can't see the concept of doing a doodle, you probably won't enjoy this game. But if you're a very textual person, you enjoy stuff like this.
Do you want to make me an offer? Do you want to make me an offer?
No, I don't want an annual.
I was 4 years old when I got that.
You'll love it. I've just spent 5 minutes sitting there trying to make a wood ramp, and I've got this little rocket launcher, and I sit on it, and it's a rocket car, and when I grab hold of the sponge, it goes shooting off, and I was trying to see how far I could throw the thing in the air, and then it landed. Everything, even the bad guys, the way they look, you're not programming it. You could get something, make it look like cardboard, and you can go, right, that looks like an arm, that looks like a head, and then you could get these bolts, and you bolt the arms onto the body, and you tell the bolts to rotate like this, and then put some wheels underneath and make it go along, and it's got a sensor, so when Sackboy gets near it, it goes off on its own little route, and it's got spikes on it. You can create bad guys out of it that move back and forth, will either run away from Sackboy, chase Sackboy, or just get activated as he moves around. You can put switches on stuff, so that if you jump on a switch, some sort of solid materials will actually dissolve into nothing and disappear, which will allow rocks to fall down and nearly crumble on him, and different things like that. You can have motion switches, so Sackboy walks past stuff, parts of the gameplay will start activating. Speech bubbles can come out of characters, and you can type whatever you want to make them say stuff. If you play any level of Little Big Planet, you can create anything like that. It is all possible. They give you every tool to do it as you please. I've even... actually, there's another game I want to talk about in a bit, which I've had a go on. A game called Mirror's Edge.
Now, did we talk about that last week?
Did we talk about Mirror's Edge last week?
Or did I just talk to somebody else about it?
Check the show notes. I don't think I talked about it last week.
I'm sure I did.
Yeah, we talked about Mirror's Edge, yeah. Yeah, we did talk about Mirror's Edge.
Good, because anyway, I thought I was going crazy then.
Someone's actually made a Mirror's Edge with Sackboy, and you're jumping across all these skyscrapers in it. And, you know, you could sit there and you could make all your favorite scenes from Star Wars if you wanted to. You could recreate battles from Halo going on in the background and things coming down. Indiana Jones with a bull chasing him. And people actually have done that. I've had it go on an Indiana Jones level that someone's made. Your imagination is your limitation. You can do whatever you wanted to create in.
Well, really, I can do anything I want. So if, could I, for example, have a object with, say, 420 billion polygons on it?
I don't know.
The answer is no.
There is a limitation where it starts warning you if you're putting too many objects in the screen. And I put a lot of objects. I had loads of apples, and I dropped them onto all these toy soldiers. And it says, careful, you're starting to use too many objects.
Careful, dude, you're going to have slowdown.
So it keeps the game in a good pace, and the levels are expandingly large, so you just spread everything out. But you can do whatever you want. You have these little race gates you can put in. I won't even attempt to go through all of the stuff they give you. You're just going to have to trust me and have a go. You are not limited by anything. The good thing about it is there is another plat. You're in this kind of cardboard spaceship, and that's your pod, and your character drops in for that. And he stood there, and you can get out stickers, and you can decorate with objects all inside your pod, which you can reset. You decorate your Sackboy to make him look how you want. And then there's a PlayStation 3 controller jammed in the side. So he goes up and he starts playing with all the PlayStation 3 controller. And that allows you to activate, to choose to go into the Little Big Planet, so you can go onto the levels. Or you can go to the planet to the left, which is the community, which gives you news. You can look at your score and how many people have rated your levels. You can look at anybody who's on your friends list and look at their levels. And then you can go to the moon that orbits Little Big Planet, and you get your own moon. And each crater is a game save for a level, and you can create all of your levels. And then when you created them, you can publish them. And people can go onto the big community planet, and they can look at all of them. And you can go around via subject, you can do a word search, genre, and then you can find one, go in there, and you can play that level. And every level you can play online, so it loads it onto line. I've not played the online feature yet, just been playing by myself. Or you can play with up to four people by yourself. I have heard that multiplayer is a little bit hard because you all get one camera each. So if you're playing with a mate online, you don't get your own camera, you have to stick together, so you have to be cooperative.
Well, that's alright, because it's not the sort of game, you know, where...
You want to run off. You've got to stick together, help each other. Some puzzles require two people, one person to grab hold of something and hold it. The way the physics work in it is really unique. Being able to try and get something to swing, you grab hold of a bit of sponge on the end of a bit of string or a bungee cord. And I must admit, the videos are funny. Every time you get a new tool in the creator's box when you go to the moon... It all of a sudden says, well, don't use this yet, watch a video. So you watch your tutorial and you get dropped onto this little TV unit with a switch, and when you click on it, it plays a video, and Stephen Fry starts talking about all these things that you've got to use it for. And then there's this woman next to it, and you click on her, and she says, right, you need to do this, this, and this, and then you've got these objects, and you have a go, and you're like, oh, that is really cool. So it allows you to understand all of the different things that you can be doing. To be honest, this game supposedly is quite short, but I've been
playing. Well, if you've got your own level designer, you know,
it expands constantly.
The point is, it's a sandbox for you to goof around in and do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want. I was quite happily enjoying trying to launch a rocket car. There's a skateboard, loads of stuff I haven't even unlocked yet. And also on PlayStation Network, there's downloads. There were quite a few on release. There was unfortunately, two of them you did have to pay for because of one of them because of rarity, the other one because of licensing. Licensing was they do bring out costumes which are licensed to other games, so they do have to charge you for it because the game company who owns the license actually wants some money off it. So they've actually got Motorsport or whatever it's called, that racing game.
Motorstorm.
They've got a costume from Motorstorm that you can pay £1 for.
Lame.
For $3.99 you can buy this rare item, and one of the rare items was a t-shirt for your Sackboy with the tree from Little Big Planet logo on it, and that was 1 week only. So for the first week of the game being out, that was available. If you don't buy it within the first week, it's gone for good, and then people who are online have got that. It kind of says, I got it first time. I downloaded a few that were free. I got a pumpkin hat, so I've got my head as a pumpkin for Halloween.
Nothing new there then.
And a spacesuit, so I'm in a complete astronaut spacesuit with a reflective vibe.
Astronaut? Dude, it's cosmonaut.
Cosmonaut then. So he looked pretty cool.
That's better.
So yeah, everything unlocks, and it shows you how much a percentage, and it was very, I have only completed one level 100%, and that was one of the early ones. So loads of them, there's loads of hidden things to go through and try and find, so it keeps you going, and you can revisit a lot of the levels to unlock a lot of the content. And then everything else is yours to play with as you want. It's a big toy to muck around with. It's like someone giving you a bunch of crayons and some felt and some super glue and a big piece of paper and said, go play for 5 minutes.
Yeah, but the thing is, dude, I could do that as a kid.
Yeah.
I can't do it now. I need my...
You need structure and an idea of what to do. And I think that
when I was a kid, a couple of pens and, the first time I got my A3 sheet of paper, first time I had one, I was like, wow, I spent hours doodling.
Yeah.
Of course, what I would doodle would be normally squares because I can't draw anything else.
Yeah. The levels are in there to keep you occupied while you're unlocking
stuff. I was good at
drawing
cars and stuff.
But
like brick cars.
If they didn't have the levels, I think the game would be boring quick because people wouldn't get excited of what you could is possible. And this game really
people won't
showed...
take advantage of it unless, you've got some sample content in there.
Yeah.
So people actually get what the game's about.
So you'll have your levels, your sample content, and also the fact you'll have other people creating stuff, and some people have gone nuts on it. They create all sorts of levels. You get these race gates so you can have a race in there, and you can really create a lot of stuff. You could sit there and you've got like, oh, I've got this really cool sticker of a giraffe, and you're like, actually no, I've got some just giraffe paper that I've got a sticker. So you're like, okay, so you get there, you get your etching tool, and you've got cardboard, and you're like, let's make this, and it looks like a mutant giraffe with horns, and then you get the stick, and you get this other thing, Google Eye on it, and you're like, right, lift it up off the ground, put some wheels on it, put a brain on it, and then when you walk near it, you program it, so it runs away, so this mutant giraffe just runs away as you're doing stuff. Anything you want to do, you could just throw it into this game and recreate whatever you want. Unless I'm tempted to just start going off things that are important to me. Like, I love Marvel Comics, I'm tempted to try and do Spider-Man sort of levels and things from Star Wars. And you could, if you want, you could just have a level where you could walk along. Because if anybody saw, I don't know if it was Leipzig or it was, it was the Japanese convention. That we
Tokyo talking. Game Show. Whatever.
Yeah. Instead of using like PowerPoint presentation for their sales stuff for Sony, they actually did the entire thing in Little Big Planet. As he's running along, all these bar charts move up, and they were all set that whenever he gets close to something, something would activate. When something got too close to something else, it would activate the next thing, and they all moved along. And all of the adverts are in the games magazine are all done like this. The GameSpot's review, the entire review is actually done in Little Big Planet. They made the review out of Little Big Planet Engine and just went around and did the whole thing. One thing I am looking forward to, and I really wish they'd give a feature for it, is the fact of the animation, which I can never remember the Japanese name for it, which everyone's seen, is basically Red versus Blue, using a video game to animate a show of some kind. WoW has been used an incredible amount. The community of WoW have really pushed it of being able to create stuff, and I really think that this would be quite good. Your character as well, you can, it is connect, his head and his hips are connected to the six axis. So when he stood there, if you start tilting it, it'll look left, it'll look right, it'll look up, it'll look down. If you click one of the analog buttons down, it will move to his hips, so he can jiggle his hips around. Hold down the triggers, they activate the puppet controls on his hands, so when you move the thumbsticks, his hands move. You could be stood there and you can use the D-pad and you tab up on the different direction of the D-pad and it changes his emotions on his face. And you're like, oh my god, that was just completely and utterly crap. And you could just go up to someone and then you could quickly bring up the thing. And you've got a keyboard, or you can type quick on the shortcut keyboard. You could type, dude, you are a complete and utter noob. And then you could just make your face look angry and you could swing your arm really fast. If you flick the analog stick, you can slap someone in the face and just knock them flying. And they're like, dude, you're a noob. You just got us so pwned on that level. So it...
Did you just call me a noob?
No, I'm just pointing in your general direction. But
okay.
You know, you can slap each other and it really gives a nice feel being able to play with friends as well as playing by yourself. But yeah, the content, oh my god, it's just humongous.
Right, let's start wrapping this down.
Okay, one last feature I wanted to mention, which I thought
because
was very cool.
Because you've been at it for 15 minutes.
Is
we've been here 2 hours now in total.
With the sticker feature, they've also got stickers that are added to the iToy. So if you've got the camera toy plugged in, you can look and you'll bring up a sticker and you're like, oh, the sticker is actually what we're showing. So you could like, right, let's get my face, put the sticker where I want, ka-ching, and you can have your face there and you can put your face on this cardboard character that goes roar, 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 and walks along and stuff like that.
That isn't a positive feature.
You know, you could do whatever you want with this camera to add all the features in. You can put these little record player things and you clip them on there, and when Sackboy runs past, the music of the game level starts changing. Like I was saying with the giraffe, you can put a speaker on it and put the sticker over the speaker, and you program the speaker to make an elephant noise, so you have a cartoon elephant, and when you walk past it, it goes rawr, rawr. And you know
it does what?
Rawr, rawr. You know, rawr, noise. It the plethora of content is amazing, and obviously because of the new next gen consoles are being able to download more content and stuff.
The current gen
consoles content is downloadable. You know, it's probably a long time before they ever add any more content to this game because there's so much to play with. But yeah, it's just absolutely amazing. I must admit, now that the game is out, I wouldn't be surprised to see, give it a little bit while, have a look to see what's on YouTube, because YouTube was all the demo being played and some of the trailers where they did the take the mick out of Kill, whatever it's called, not Kill Squad,
Kill Man,
Kill Zone. They got the trailer for Kill Zone, but it's actually the characters from Little Big Planet dressed up as Kill Zone characters. The stickers, you can actually pump the stickers and actually push them onto the Sackboy to colour them in. You can get objects and stick them on his head and things like that. It's just completely customizable, and you can be so creative with it. It's unbelievable. I myself was just entertained by the rocket. You can have explosives, so things are explosive. Cardboardable thing. You can catch
Adam,
things on fire.
Adam, wind it down.
Wind it down. I could talk probably for... Put it this way, I could probably talk for another hour about
right.
it.
This game scores 5 out of 5.
Yes. I give this 5 out of 5. I cannot find a fault with it. To be honest...
I'll tell you what, mate.
The only fault with it...
I bet you within 15 minutes I would have found 10 faults with it.
Yeah. I bet you probably could.
Because I have the eye of the faulty man.
Yeah.
I was actually just looking at a piece of an email we had sent down from head office today. They had a whole paragraph underlined. We don't use typewriters anymore. If you underline like a whole paragraph, it throws the flipping words out so you can't read them. Because it adjusts the baseline, so you read like 10 times slower. It's like, who are these people? This is an email from head office, and I can find so many mistakes in it. Even grammar. I mean, you know, my grammar's terrible.
Right. Can I wind down now?
What are you at?
No, you interrupted me. Right, so winding down. Gameplay, very simple. It's 2D platform, side to side.
It's basically a cross between a platformer and sort of Lemmings.
Yeah,
you could make the argument it's closer to Lemmings 2 because you had more tools to do stuff in
it's a platform game that you can. It's a platform game.
It plays as a platformer, but the whole, you know, like Lemmings 2, you can actually go quite mental because you have ways to build up straight walls and straight across and then ladders and.
But it's not Lemmings. It's hard to strap this to anything. It is so new, it's unbelievable. Graphics look absolutely amazing. Everything is textural. It just feels like you want to jump on the screen and touch it. Gameplay, really simple. I've even had Sarah playing it, and she picked it up quite easily because of it. It's running off a simple jump, and depending how hard you push it or when you push it, you can just jump over stuff or jump for a big. You can grab hold of stuff. The physics engine works really well with everything. So, yeah, it plays well. It's easy to pick up. And the content, it's drip-fed to you. You are not there is, as you can imagine, there is lots of content. All the tools all require a video for the first time, just so you, and a demo, just so you understand what you're doing. Otherwise, you could get lost in this game quite quickly, and you would drown within this content. So they take you in the shallow end, they put the rubber wings on, and they let you play for a while, and they slowly drip-feed everything in. By the time you've completed the game, you're fully aware of everything. You've probably got most of the content. You can start making your own stuff. Within 3 to 4 levels, you could just jump straight into making your own stuff. And straight away, there you go. Level, start creating a level. Oh, what does this do? Oh, watch this video. And they tell you what to do. Absolutely amazing. I do 100% recommend it. If you have nil amount of creative pulse whatsoever, you are flatlining on it, you may not have this, or it might spark something inside of you. But if you've got a PlayStation 3, buy it. If you don't want to own a PlayStation 3, don't buy it, because this game might make you buy a PlayStation 3. Probably not Paul, but it'd take a lot to make Paul buy a PlayStation 3.
Put it this way, I don't spend money.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an example where, you know, I slowly, like, the pocket slowly emptied up and out of it was like a Victorian coin, but I couldn't think of any examples where that's actually happened.
I actually, someone was asking me about how your spending is, and there was, I can't
remember. Put it this way, if people are worried about their spending, put me in charge of their budget.
Yeah, and they'll save money.
And they will not spend anything.
But it's not like.
They will lose their mortgage.
I think it was like, I think it was, I don't know if it was Craig or someone was saying that maybe you've got like a small hole in your wallet and you can't pull so much money at a time. And I was like, no, basically there is no hole. It's a massive big steel door with a time lock on it. And so often these programs like, this must be spent. Money must be spent on this. And you're like, my God, look at all this money. I want to take more. No, you must not spend for another 3 years.
Adam, it doesn't work like that. I spent about £2, maybe £2.10 today.
Big last of the big spenders. But you know what I mean? It's not like you were Halo 3 came out and you're like, no, I can't really go for the top one. I'll just buy the low end one and I'll wait for it.
Yeah, the thing is, dude, I had saved for 5 years for that, so I had enough money to buy it.
Yeah, you were willing to, you know, there are things you're willing to put the money out on.
Yeah. Me, 520 quid.
Yeah, your nice new phone.
It's old now. It's getting on a bit. I was going to show you something really cool, but I'm not sure if you finished talking about Little Big Planet or not.
Yeah, I'm done. 5 out of 5, go buy the game.
Right, so you know about this live mesh thing?
Yes,
you mentioned before. So you can check it out, mesh.com. It's just a client which sits on your PCs, and you can sync folders across all your different computers. So, for example, I've got my live mesh folders here. So I've got my browser favorites synced between all my computers.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile pictures shared folder there, which I share with Catherine, and then, you know, work stuff there. But they've now released a client app for the mobile, so this is my mobile pictures, like everything taken on my mobile phone. And if I was to, for example, to take a picture of you all, let me get the focus right. Let's do a good job. There you go. So there's a picture of you on the phone. And we will count down how long it takes to show up on the computer. No wires. No nothing.
No this pushing all, a button to say
this
upload.
Is all going all over the cloud automatically. We'll just leave that there for a while.
Oh.
So we've got something popped up in my folder on the computer. and it's actually being uploaded now. So it detected there was a picture there, and now it's transferring the data over. See, it's flashing.
That's quite cool, that.
Yep, so if we just sit there for 10, 20 seconds, it will copy the image over. This is a really embarrassing... There we go. So now the picture is on the computer as well. And of course, it can be on the tablet. It's also on the website as well, because you can log into the live desktop as well.
Hmm.
So that picture is now like everywhere in the mesh. So it's actually, you know, quite cool. That was a live demo. I'd never even tried that before. Apart from the stuff that actually synced over when I started up just a minute ago. So you can see your mobile phone on there. And my Windows 7 computer. Live desktop. And of course, it's all up in here as well. So it's really good. I think it'll be really good for things like photo frames and things like that as well.
Mm.
Because, for example, Amblin just got a photo frame. We think she paid about 100 quid for it. Well, Chris paid 100 quid for it. But it doesn't have Wi-Fi. And so you're having to deal with flipping memory cards. And it's like, just put Wi-Fi on it. Just get it to check Wi-Fi once a day for new pictures.
Mm.
You know, check a mesh folder. You could do so much with this technology.
Yeah.
And it's really nice because it's gone out of the technical preview stage now. It is in proper beta, so...
Is this going to be a free service?
Yes.
How much space do you get?
5 gigs at the moment. That's 5 gigs storage in the cloud. If you just want to sync between machines, it's however much you want. Because
right.
It doesn't... You get 5 gigs storage up in the cloud... And you can, of course...
So these pictures are just being synced, the mobile pictures.
Yeah, it says to the cloud, look, I've got a picture here. Open up a connection to this PC
and copy it.
Transfer the data across, but it doesn't actually store it, so that's unlimited. And you can also just tell it not to sync to the cloud if you don't want it to. So if you had a big folder of like 20 gig of music, which you don't sync to everywhere, just tell it not to sync to particular machines. Like your, you don't want 20 gig of music put over to your phone with a 512 memory card, for
example. Yeah, because it'll kill your phone.
And plus, you probably get a massive phone bill as well.
That's quite cool, that.
Yeah, it is cool. And obviously, vice versa, I can just copy files into it and they show up on the phone. It is a cool technology, and I encourage everyone to check it out. Because it is a limited, they're not letting loads of people on it at once, it is a limited. Beta program, once all the slots are filled, they're filled until they open up another batch, and that's mesh.com. So it's cool, you just have, you know, you can just make any folder on your computer, like a mesh folder like that one, add to the mesh, and it will just add it, and you can tell it where to go.
Cool.
It's actually really good.
When's release? Or is this?
When it's ready. I think it's going to have the Google style beta tag. It's, you know, in the beta forever.
Yeah.
Or beta, the beta program forever, like all of Google's stuff.
Mm.
Everything
is beta.
Do they never actually finish anything? No. Well, I mean, you know, nowadays with like software being updated all the time,
yeah.
It's not like you have a big cutoff point, and that's your RTM, is it? So, what was the other game you wanted to talk about? You bet you've forgotten now, haven't you?
That might have been Mirror's Edge that I was mentioning.
Oh, was it? Oh. Talk about Mirror's Edge then.
No, I've played it a little bit more. Definitely going about buying this game.
Yeah, it's too hard. I get stuck.
Yeah, actually, no. Last time we spoke, I talked about it, but you hadn't played it or looked at it.
Oh, I've played it now. Okay. I'm sure. Did I not talk about this last week?
No.
I talked about this to somebody.
No, I just told you about it, and you went, oh, yeah, I need to have
yeah.
a go at that.
So anyway, I've had a go at it. It's a really excellent concept. You know, it looks good. I mean, it doesn't look...
You see what I mean about the buildings, though, with it all being chalky white and this luscious blue sky and the reds and the oranges and the greens.
Yeah, I think the colours have been dulled down and everything else and upped on, like, your... You know, which shows the path where you have to go. But there's a few things I don't like. One... The controls run like anything else out there. So my brain had to spend 2 minutes mapping the controls out for this game.
Yeah.
The trouble with that is when I went to play Halo, I was trying to jump with this and I was chucking grenades everywhere. I was like, nerds. Anyway, you start off with a tutorial in the demo. Mm. Quite slow pace. You can, you know, go for it at your own speed. It's quite good. Later on, when you actually started to face opponents during the game properly, you had to chuck the briefcase up to some woman.
Yeah.
And then you ran into your first set of dudes. At that bit there, you know, I've realised I'm lost. I don't know where to go. And that's bad because it really interrupts the flow of the game. So it's a sort of game you have to play through twice.
Yeah, that bit.
Because there's a few bits, I mean, not just there, but there's another bit as well where I'm thinking, am I going the right way here?
Yeah, there were a few moments.
Because what they've got is this runner vision where, you know, it makes things appear
red,
where you're supposed to be going. But in some cases, it can just be this tiny little box which you could quite easily miss.
Yeah. You don't have to follow the flow. You could go against it and find your own way.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like you can go every path. You know, there are many paths where you jump and you die.
Yeah.
Which, I have to say, happened to me about 200 times.
Did you finish the demo?
No. I got pwned by the dudes when I had to fight them.
The guys with the machine guns on the very top roof.
No, there was a dude in front of me with a gun. I disarmed him.
Yeah.
And there was another dude, but I didn't see what gun he had because I got pwned too quickly.
Basically, once you've disarmed the first one, if you don't punch him and you actually disarm him and you've got the gun, you can just run up and start shooting the other
one. Yeah, I tried doing that. I just got killed.
If need be, I'd jump up, smack him out, and then you have to jump to the girl, you jump the briefcase. Now this is, I agree with you on this, this is the bit where I was kind of like, I can't see any red. And these guys came out in full body armor and machine guns, and it couldn't get to them. So I was like, I had to run, and yeah. I ran this way.
You ran that way, jumped off, dead. Go around the other way, dead. And then of course you try the other way, which was back from where they came from, and go through like that.
Yeah, and you could never jump back across, and it all kept falling.
So it's the sort of game you have to appreciate the fact that you're going to die playing it.
Yeah.
Because you do go the wrong way and so on and so on.
I did find the answer. You've got to... In some respects, after a while, I kept thinking to myself, hang on, the way this game's played so far, I got to play it like I am running across this rooftop. I got to think, there is no way. I'm looking for the gaming aspect. I was looking for the, where's the mechanics going to let me go? And I wasn't thinking about it in real terms. When I started thinking about real terms, the first thing that popped on my head was, there's a helicopter in front of me. So I ran at the helicopter and thought, screw it, just jump. I'm not going to down hit the ground, I'll just reset. So I ran to the helicopter, and as soon as you get close enough, the landing bars on the bottom of the helicopter glow red. And I leapt for those, and then you grab hold of it, and then it finishes and it goes on a cutscene, and the camera swings around, and you see you hanging on for dear life from this helicopter by one hand, and you put the other hand up and you're on this mirror building as the camera is looking, as you're looking through the first person at yourself, and then she drops down, looks up, and the guys are kind of like looking down at where you fell to, and then they're kind of like, oh, and they walk off in the distance, and then it cuts to some cutscenes from the game being played through the rest of the levels. But
yeah, once I'd done it, because I played for it like two or three times up to the point where I got stuck. Once you get the speed up, that's when it really gets good.
Yeah. You get a real nice flow for it. It feels nice to be able to run.
It feels nice when you can pull off all these button things just in the right combination and the right timing and thinking, yeah, I totally nailed that bit.
And you do crouch when you go down stuff and you start sliding one foot in front of the other. And it does have a nice flow to it. It does kind of... It's like first person, but it feels like you're playing a skateboarding game and you're getting this real nice line going, or snowboarding or whatever. You get a real nice sense of speed as well. It does feel like you're quite running quite fast and controllable. A lot of first person shooters where you've got this big heavy gun and you hold the gun up to your chest and you run really fast, you feel like you're moving fast. You're like, yeah, but you feel so clumsy. You can't turn on your ankles quick enough to go around a corner and stuff. And I do like
that's this. Because this woman isn't carrying 200 kilograms of gear.
Yeah. I do find, like, especially when she's putting her arm up and smacking through doorways and stuff, I just kind of feel, you know, this just reminds me of the ending of The Matrix when Neo's running for his life. It does have a nice running feel, and I'm hoping that the levels live up to what this demo is showing. So I have to wait and see.
Yeah, interesting. The demo is certainly worth checking out.
Yeah. But,
Mirror's Sketch.
Yeah, it's come out of the radar. I've not heard it. I literally saw it in Games Magazine. someone who worked by it on a regular basis saw it as an advert, and I was like, ooh. And then I was reading, he had Games Master, and I was just having a read of that. And
Games Master, have they still got Patrick Moore on the front of it?
No, I don't think so. But yeah, he just gets that because he doesn't like going for a particular format. He just wants to have something to read at work and read on all the consoles. And it being one of the second most wanted games for the latter part of this year, and I was like, Mirror's Edge, what the hell is this? And then when I got home, it was out on demo on Xbox and PlayStation, so I just downloaded a copy, and I was like, whoa. So it's one of those games that is not being pushed out as bigly, but definitely worth it.
We're checking out. Right, are we back next week?
Yes, we are.
Are you finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so sum up, Little Big Planet, buy, Mirror's Edge, download, all the stupid, crappy applications I talked about, use, and whatever.
Wrath's out next week.
Thursday.
Anything major for Friday?
Call of Duty 5.
Yeah.
Guitar Hero World Tour full box with all the instruments on Friday as well.
Imagine I have lots of people bringing in their guitar bags, trading in their old guitars with their games and stuff.
You know, the trouble nowadays is you have all these stupid accessories.
Mm.
And it's like, look, mate, this is junk. I mean, you know, at least before you trade it in, you should clean it. You know, and here it is, filthy, covered in dust.
Are they taking in anything, guitars and stuff, unless it comes with the game sort of thing? Or
yeah, because we never stock the accessories by themselves, but it's just, you know, so much hassle.
I think a lot of people won't be trading in, because supposedly the guitar will play on, so if you buy the kit with one guitar, you keep the guitar from the old one sort of thing. So, but it's this whole Rock Band and Guitar Hero.
I don't know. I mean, just think, you buy some dude this for... You know, you buy it to some dude, and they have this huge box in their house now with all these cheap, crappy instruments, and it's like
it looks like Fisher Price. My first guitar, Fisher Price.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's good for a 6-year-old in like a huge mansion where you can just put it in a room where nobody goes.
Yeah, it does take up a lot of room.
Put it this way: if there was a box that size in my house, I'd be annoyed.
I don't think I'd play on it enough to warrant that much money.
But hey. Perfectly honest, I just play with a controller.
Mm. Right.
Right, let's make a move.
Yeah.
Back next week with, I suppose, our preliminary report on Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah.
Maybe Gears of War if my wallet opens. Which it won't, but it might. It might give, well, 30 quid for Gears of War, and see, I'm probably going to get the decent version of Lich King's thing.
Because you didn't get the, you just got the standard one.
Oh, screw it. Maybe I'll just get the cheap version of Lich King and get Gears of War. Because I'm not paying that much money on games this month. I don't know, maybe. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.